It's a joy to be back in the tabernacle tonight. Good to see this good number out on Wednesday night meeting. And I appreciate the churches that have come to be a part of the meeting tonight. The local assemblies that have come. There's only one church. God's got, he kind of franchised it though and put it all over the world. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad for that. I praise God for that. I appreciate all the men of God that are here. It's a blessing for me to be here in this area. And some of you, all I'm new to you, and you're new to me. It's kind of like when you get a new preacher come in, it's kind of like you're on a blind date. You might be like the old boy, they set him up on a blind date, and after he got back, they said, well, how was it? He said, it'd been better if I'd have been blind. Praise the Lord. Amen. I hope you don't feel that way after it's over with. Praise God. Amen. It's certainly good to be here. I appreciate the Lord and appreciate His goodness. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 5. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 5. And I'm going to give you a thought tonight that I hope will challenge you and be a blessing to you tonight from the Word of God. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 5. And I want to read just a few verses tonight and we'll be done. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 5. And I want to start reading in verse number 1. If you're able, stand with me tonight. You've been sitting a while. As we read the Word of God tonight, 2 Chronicles, chapter number 5. And the Bible says in verse number 1, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. And they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. Skip to verse 11, please. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight in this place. God, as we stand before this people, would you honor us with your presence? God, as we've read your word tonight, without your touch, without your divine unction tonight, God, all will be in vain. Father, I ask you tonight that you'd speak to our hearts and challenge us from your word. Father, we thank you for what you've done thus far. Thank you for the good songs, the good singing tonight. And I pray, Lord, you'd bless in a special way now every congregation represented here tonight. And Father, meet every need that might be in this place, Lord. Speak to our hearts
And Lord, may we receive the word of God with gladness. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in the word of God, we find the scene of the dedication of Solomon's temple. If you study the word of God and you understand anything about Solomon's temple, you understand it was a grand undertaking by Solomon. You see, God had put it in the heart of David, his father, to build the house of God, but God would not allow David to build the house of God because he had been a man of war. And the Bible said, now here his son Solomon has been able to complete the very work that was put in the heart of David, to build the house of God. Now this was not some small undertaking, because you're talking about the grand and great Solomon's temple. You talk about the beauty and the magnificence of that, a building of the house of God. And here they are, they're assembled now, and they're dedicating the house of God. There's been a lot of work that's been put into it. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears have brought them to the place where we're at right here in the scriptures. It started on the mountain ranges of Syria there when they cut down the cedars of Lebanon. Those men lifted the axe over in the book of Psalms. There's a message I preach out of there, over there in the book of Psalms, where it said a man was famous according as he had lifted up axes against the thick trees. I thought about, here were some men, nameless men, but the Bible said they were famous. And what were they famous for, preacher? Because they had lifted up the axes. They had done the hard work. They had done the laborious work that the house of God might be built. Here they are. They have come to this place now. There's been a lot of work that's been done. There's been a lot of sacrifice that has been given. The Bible said they sacrificed here so much that it could not be numbered. And the Bible said then they assembled all of them together. They put on their best. They came there. They got the musicians in order. They got the cymbals and the psalteries and the harps. They got the trumpeters in order. They got the priests there. And the Bible said then they struck up and started singing. And the singers and the trumpeters were as one. There is unity at the house of God in this scene. Boy, wouldn't it be amazing what God could do if we could just get a little unity back among God's people. Amen. And the Bible said that as they began to blow the trumpets and as they began to praise God and say, for his mercy endureth forever, that something very mysterious began to happen. The Bible said that the house was filled with a cloud. Now, I don't know about you, that's kind of mysterious. You see, this was back a long time before the contemporary boys got their fog machines. By the way, let me just stop and meddle right there. I'm glad I serve a God that can bring his own smoke. Amen. And I thought about, here they are, and the Bible said that a cloud filled the house. The Bible said, in other words, it got foggy. It got thick at the house of God. And the Bible said that it was so thick that the priests could not stand to minister. In other words, there was such a presence of God in the house of God that man had to get out of the way. I don't know about you, praise God, but if there's one thing I believe we're needing today in our churches, it's what happened right here. You see, God sent his favor. God said, I want to show you something. I'm pleased with what you've done. I'm pleased at your praise for me. I'm pleased at your sacrifice. And he said, I'm going to send something very unusual. I'm going to send the cloud. In other words, God says, there's going to be an atmosphere change in the house of God. I don't know about you, but I believe probably the greatest thing that's needed today among churches in most places is the atmosphere needs to change. And it's not something that we can do to manufacture it ourselves. But if we'll do what God wants us to do, the cloud's just liable to show up. I'm old enough till I remember services in my life. Many of you that are old enough, you remember days where you've been in meetings. It doesn't happen often. It isn't something that happens on a regular basis. But some of you have been in services down through the year where the cloud showed up. You've been in some meetings that you'll never forget. Some meetings where, you had done everything God asked you to do, and then all of a sudden God's presence came in such a way that everybody left saying, praise God, we've seen strange things today. Amen. I don't know about you, but if there's one thing that I desire, it's that God would once again fill the house of God with His presence and with His power. Hallelujah to His name. I'll never forget up there at the church where I pastor, probably 17 years ago, we were in a Sunday night service there, just a routine Sunday night service. Didn't have any special preaching or special singing that night. The choir was singing, as a matter of fact. We was just like everybody else. We was just singing, doing what we know to do is right. And I can't explain it. I can't really tell you even what triggered it or what caused it to happen. But in the middle of a routine service, suddenly there was a shift in the meeting. In the middle of what was just going through the motions, if you will, and we Baptists are awful good at that. We've perfected the art of going through the motions. But that night in the middle of that service, there was a shift in the service. And there was something that came called the supernatural. And all of a sudden it started getting foggy in the house of God. You say, now preacher, you're talking about fog you could see with your eyes. No, it's a fog you could feel. And here we are in the service, and the next thing I know, we're just going through the routine, but now suddenly the service has changed, and the Holy Ghost presence of God begins to move upon people, and sinners started coming to the altar to get saved. We're not even given an invitation. Nobody's preached. We're singing with the choir. Next thing I know, the altars fill. The choir, what had been just routine singing, now everybody's a wiping tears and folks are praising God. And boy, I tell you what, there was a shift in the service that night. There's a young preacher. Matter of fact, he's a pastor now out of our church, Brother Keith Brown. Brother Keith had a little girl that time. She's a teenager now, but she was sick, about 6 years old. Sarah was her name. Sarah has cystic fibrosis. She's a special child. She's just, ever since she's been in the world, she's been sick. But boy, I tell you, talk about a youngin' that knows how to pray. There's a lot of days I'd be out on the road preaching, and Sarah would come down to the church with her mama to help clean the church, and I'd find a note on the pulpit where that little girl with cystic fibrosis had lay a note on the pulpit and say, Preacher Leonard, I love you, and I prayed for you this week in revival meeting. Amen. So she knew how to pray and get one through to God. And that night as they were standing there, Brother Keith, he's kind of like a lot of Baptists. He don't show emotion a whole lot. He's kind of a stoic type fellow, but that night I looked over and Keith, the son, it was such a presence of God in the building, even he was a mess. He had come, he was just a blubbering mess. And he told me this after the service. He said, Preacher, you ain't gonna believe what happened in the service tonight. I said, what's that? He said, I was over there and said, man, I was enjoying the glory and the presence of God. And said, all of a sudden, Sarah went to tugging on my sleeve. And he said, I thought, man, she just being a young and little Sarah, don't bother me. I mean, God's here. Don't bother me. And said, finally, he didn't pay attention to her. She tugged on his coat sleeve again. And said, he looked at her and said, Sarah, what is it? What's wrong? And he said that night she was looking at the choir singing, but she was looking up above the choir, as a little old youngin would do. And she looked at him and she said this. She said, I'm talking about 6 years old. She said, don't you see it, Daddy? And he said, see it? See what, Sarah? She said, the angel. Now, I know that bothers some of you. I know that troubles some of you. But you don't have a bit of problem believing that God woke Elijah up under a juniper tree when an angel touched him and baked a cake for him and told him to arise and eat. You don't have a bit of problem believing Peter was in jail with a soldier on either side of him. When an angel walked in, smote him on the thigh, said, "Peter, get up. We're getting out of here." I got news for you. If God can put an angel under a juniper tree and he can put one in a jail cell, he won't have a bit of problem putting one in the choir loft if he needs it. Amen. The only problem that night was I just hated I wasn't close enough to God so I could see it too. Amen. I don't know about you. It's about time we get the presence and the power of God back in the house of God. Hallelujah to his name. But you do realize the cloud didn't come till God's people did what pleased God. They had done the work. They'd got the Ark of the Covenant. They'd put holy things back in their rightful place. Now they've prepared themselves. They put on them that white linen. And I know we're living in a day people says, "Well, you know, you don't need to dress up or do nothing like that." Well, don't tell that crowd, praise God. They didn't just show up anyway. They said, we want to please God. And I know it ain't all about how you dress. Matter of fact, we've probably went so far on that with rules and regulations, we've probably sent a lot of people to hell because we just had rules and regulations instead of a relationship with Christ. Amen. If you get a man saved, you won't have to worry about the outside. God will take care of that. Amen. Amen. But I got thinking about that. I was at the house one day and I saw something. I said, "Lord, this is a perfect illustration of what I'm talking about." I brought something with me tonight. I want to show you tonight about changing the atmosphere at the house of God. I got something. I saw this and I said, everybody can relate to this. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. And if I can get it out of my bag here, everybody in the building, if you can see this where you're seated tonight, you know what this is. This is a thermometer. You can hang it up on the front porch. You can hang it behind the house. You can hang it anywhere. Matter of fact, right now it says it's about 77, 78 degrees here in the tabernacle. I'm thankful that I've started preaching this message because I get to take this with me everywhere I preach it. And it might save a man's life in a Baptist church. Because if it gets so cold, you need to know how cold it is and how cold the windshield is. It might keep you from freezing to death in the average Baptist church. I've been in some where the windshield was pretty bad. Now, I'm from the mountains, man. In the wintertime, when it gets down to zero and that winds are blowing real good and stiff, the windshield be sometimes 30 below zero. But I've been in some Baptist churches, I believe it was lower than that. Amen. I got thinking about that. Some of you might want to take one with you to church Sunday. Amen. But I got to thinking about this thermometer. You see, this thermometer has diagnosed the atmosphere that's in here tonight. Matter of fact, it tells me what the temperature is. And everybody here can see that it tells me what's going on here. But do you realize this thermometer don't have any ability to change the atmosphere that's in here? I'm afraid we got a lot of church folk. They can tell you how it is at the church. They can diagnose the situation. They can tell you how the choir is. They can tell you how the preacher is. They can tell you how the Sunday school teacher is. But the fact of the matter is they ain't doing one thing to change the atmosphere at the house of God. Amen. I thought about that. I brought something else with me. You know what? Most of the time I preach out of the Bible. But sometimes when I get desperate, I go to Lowe's. You get desperate enough for a thought, you'll go to Lowe's too, praise the Lord. I brought something else with me tonight, and if you can see this, where I'm at right here, you can see what I've got. Some of y'all got one of these on your wall at the house. If you got that there heat pump, that central heat and air, this is a thermometer, and this is a thermostat. Now, both of them will tell you what temperature it is, but this one has the ability to go to work and to change it. I said, boy, wouldn't it be great? We got too many of these folks at the church. Wouldn't it be great if we have some of them that's in there and says, you know what? we may not be everything we ought to be, and I know there's issues, and I know there's struggles, but praise God, by the help of God, I want to do my part to try to change the atmosphere at the house of God. It may not just be in the house of God. God may want to change the atmosphere in your home. God may want to change the atmosphere in your community, and it's going to take you being obedient to God and letting God work through you that he can start changing the atmosphere. I got to thinking about the comparison between these two. I said we need some people just like this one right here. This one is hooked up. Matter of fact, it's connected to the power. Amen. This one's hooked up. This one just hangs around. I fear that we got a lot of folks at church that just are hanging around. Ain't really hooked up. Boy, I tell you what, I've pastored in the same place almost 24 years now. Down through the years, I've had several of them that came through and they hung around a while, and then they went and hung around a while somewhere else. And then after a while, they'd go hang around somewhere else. But thank God for those people that came and they hooked up. They said, "Preacher, we didn't come to leave, we come to stay." And I know we're going to have valleys and we're going to have hills. I know there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be dark days. But by the grace of God, when the battle gets the hardest, amen, we're going to do our best to try to help change the atmosphere. Some of you say, "Well, our churches went through a little low place." Well, I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to kick in, hook up, praise God, and do your best to help change the atmosphere at the house of God, amen. Oh, got a lot of folks just hanging around. They can tell you all about it, but they ain't going to get hooked up. I thought about this one's hooked up to the power. I thought about not only the connection that this one has, that this doesn't. I thought about the contact issue of this right here. You realize this has got buttons on it. I've got one of these in my house. If I'm sitting there in my living room and the atmosphere is not what I want it to be, you see, I own the house. So I get up and I go over there, and the owner of the house goes to pushing the buttons. And then he goes to doing what the owner wants him to do. Y'all a little slow in High Point. Y'all a little slow in High Point. I'm so thankful for those people that sit in the pews that I'm talking about the one that owns us, the one that purchased us with his own blood. When he goes to pushing the buttons of their heart, they begin responding and begin doing what God wants them to do. Hallelujah to his name. A few weeks ago up here at the church, some of y'all heard on the news the flooding that took place up in West Virginia. I knew a couple of pastors up there preaching that area. One church up there in particular, a strong church in that area, had gotten wiped out. Their church was wiped out. They'd lost their Christian school, everything. Had no flood insurance. And they were devastated. And if you're like me as a pastor, a lot of times as a pastor, I'm continually going before the people with a burden or a need, or we're taking up for this or taking up for that. And sometimes you feel like you're just moneying people to death. I ain't never taking it for me, but I'm trying to take and help other people. And that day, it was one of those weekends we'd just done something pretty big, and our people are some of the givenest people on the planet. And so I thought, I can't get up today and tell them we're going to take an offering, because they don't know them people up there in West Virginia. I do, but they don't know them. And I said, I know we've done a whole lot. But that day, that Sunday, I got up, and this is what I said before Sunday school. I said, "Folks, I don't know if you heard about what's happened up in West Virginia, but I said, I know some of those folks, and I said, they're devastated up there. As a matter of fact, this church I'm talking about, at least 60 members out of that church lost their homes, everything they had. And I said, they're devastated. I said, I don't know what the Lord wants us to do, but I said, I want you to pray. I said, just pray about what the Lord would have us to do. I didn't say I was going to take an offer, didn't say anything. I said, just pray about what the Lord would have us to do. That Sunday after church, there was a young man, one of the quietest young men in our church. Little, quiet, unassuming family. Matter of fact, got two little children. Not wealthy people at all, just working folks, just country folks. And that boy walked up to me and he shook my hand. He stuck something in my hand. And I looked, and it was a note. And I thought, oh, my, what in the world is this? You never know when you get a note nowadays. It could be a Dear John letter. It could have been, said, preacher, now we love you, but. Every preacher gets them on occasion. We love you, but, preacher. We love you, but. Amen. But we decided to do something different. Amen. I better get off of that. It got real tight when I said that in here. Did you notice how they clamped up when I hit that lick right there? Amen. Now, the preachers were all saying, preach him, Lord, preach him. And everybody's just sitting here all squinched up. Amen. 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 But that day I opened up that note, and this is what it said. It said, Pastor, I want you to know I love you. It said, I don't know what the Lord wants you to do for West Virginia, but he said, I know what the Lord wants me to do. And it opened up, and there was a $1,000 check from a little family that probably didn't have $1,000 extra dollars to spare. And I'll be honest with you, I just cried when I saw it. Because that day, out of that congregation of 200 people, I know some people in there, it wouldn't have strained them a bit to wrote a $1,000 check. But guess what? None of them came that day. But one little family that I wouldn't even have thought nothing about said, here, preacher, this is what the Lord wants me to do. I got up and told them that night. I said, folks, I said, I don't know. I said, somebody brought me a check. I didn't tell them who it was. I said, I got a check for $1,000 this morning to send to West Virginia. I said, we're not going to take an offering, but if you've got something this week, just bring it to some of us. I said, we'll see that it gets there. Within 2 days, we took up $10,000 to send to West Virginia. I mean, what, didn't even pass a plate. Took up $10,000. And it all started with one of these sitting in the pew. And the Lord went to touching the buttons, and the atmosphere changed. Hallelujah. Why, thank God. I've been around some of them saints that when the Holy Ghost would start pushing the buttons of their heart, they'd say, no, it don't make a lot of sense, but I'm going to obey God anyway. I promise you this, you'll never regret it. Amen. I promise you this, God will bless it every time. Hallelujah to his name. There's the connection. One's hooked up, the other's not. If you're not hooked up, you ought to get hooked up where you're at. Get in there faithful. Get in there every service. Every time the doors is open. Don't drag in 5 minutes late. Get there 30 minutes early. Make the preacher have to get there early to open the doors. Amen. This one. I thought about this. There's the command of this right here. Not only does it have buttons, but those buttons are for a reason. You see, it's programmable. You know what that means, don't you? It means you put something in it. You put in it what you want it to do. And then after you walk away, it'll go about doing it even when you ain't around. Isn't that what your preacher does on Sunday? He's trying to put something in your life so that when you walk out the doors on Monday, you'll go about doing what's been put inside. I go all over the country. I preach for preachers all over the country. And I've never seen a day that there's as more weary, frustrated, discouraged pastors as they are today, because they're spending most of their time trying to program a bunch of thermometers. No matter what they preach, it don't affect them. I preached a message one time. Y'all know them, the skillets that you buy that's got Teflon on it? I got to studying about that one time, and I found out how they invented Teflon. This fellow was actually doing an experiment. It was by accident that he discovered this ultra-slippery, hard surface that you could put on something. When they put that on them skillets, nothing will stick to it. I preached a message called Teflon Christianity. Because nowadays when you preach it, it slides off before they get out the door. So Some of you preachers got some of them like that too, praise God. But I thought about this right here. When you put it in there, it'll even do it when everybody else in the house is asleep. Some of y'all get that after sometime tomorrow. So you may have a whole crowd like this. No, nothing. Everything your preacher said just runs off like water on a duck's back. But thank God for a few in there that says, "Preacher, tell me what God said. Tell me what that book means, preacher. Tell me what God wants me to do." And I promise you this, if you'll do that, you'll see the atmosphere change, not only in your life, but at the house of God. I thought about the conversation of these. Every now and then I'll be sitting there in my easy chair at the house. Don't get to do it very often, but I'll be sitting there in the quiet, just quiet. And all of a sudden I'll hear a clicking noise over on the wall. And I'll know that that little old thing has kicked in. Man, I tell you, your church needs some people. Every now and then it'll kick in. Sometimes when it's a struggle, when the liberty ain't what it needs to be, God might want you to kick in and help your preacher a little bit. God might want you to just praise the Lord a little bit. I thought about this. I had Brother Ron Martin and his family singing for us a while back. Brother Ron is the brother to Sister Kyla Rowland. And, of course, Kyla, one of the greatest songwriters of our generation. But Ron, her brother, tremendous singer in his own right and great family. But they were raised by a mom and daddy. Their daddy was an old-fashioned country Baptist preacher. And their mama was a little praying woman. Just, I'm talking about, had God dripping off of her. And he told this story, said that they were in a service. They talk about their mom and daddy a whole lot because they had such an influence on their life. And daddy would preach and mama would pray. He said, I was in a service, said dad was pastoring, and he said dad was up a preaching and said he was a struggling something awful. Said he was just, I mean, it was just bad. There wasn't no liberty. He was just struggling. Just up there flailing around, and said, finally, Mama stood up on this side over here and said, she called his name and said, "Honey, just shut it down. Just shut it down. Just shut it down." I got to thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know that somebody could rescue me when I'm struggling. And then I felt kind of bad that my wife had never loved me enough to rescue me. Some of y'all, your wife don't love you either, because they sit back when you struggle. They say, "Look at him, look at him, look at him. Right there he is. Look at that outfit up there. He's struggling today." When all the while they ought to say, "Honey, just shut it down. It's all right. Just shut it down." I got thinking about what we need, some people to kick in. I've had some of them little saints, a lot of them gone on to heaven. But if the Holy Ghost was around any, you didn't have to pump them and prime them. Matter of fact, they just come ready to worship. I used to have an elderly gentleman in the church. His name was Melvin Brown. Brother Melvin was an older gentleman. He walked with a cane all stooped over. He'd worked hard all his life, and his body was broke down. And Brother Melvin, he'd ride the church van to church, and he'd sit on the back row. But Brother Melvin was one of them fellows, if the Holy Ghost showed up, you need to get away from him, because he would hurt you. He wouldn't even know what he's doing. And I remember this, he had a light heart attack. They put him in the hospital. I went to see him, and we were scheduled to have a 4-day meeting right after the next week. And I went to the hospital to see this elderly man. He's laying there in the hospital bed. I said, "Brother Melvin, I want you to get better now." He said, preacher, he said, "You pray for me that I can get out of this hospital. I want to be at the meeting next week." I was just trying to be the good pastor. I said, "Brother Melvin," I said, "just I want you to take care of yourself now. Don't worry about being at the meeting. You need to make sure you're all right." I'll never forget what he said to me. He looked at me, pointed a finger right at me from a hospital bed, said, "Preacher, if I'm not in the hospital," he said, "as a member of Dyson Grove Baptist Church, it's my duty to be in the meeting next week." I said, "Praise God, sign me up for 150 more like that right there." That beats that hangnail crowd that stays at the house, praise God. Like that old song, "Excuses." Little Junior's got a runny nose and the whole crowd has to stay home to help him blow it, praise God. But old Brother Melvin, after he got out of the hospital, he come to the church that next Sunday. We was in one of them meetings, and about 15 to 12, the cloud showed up. I'm talking about the glory fell. Man, people's rejoicing, filling the altars. I'm preaching. I look back, and Brother Melvin, he always walked on that cane all stooped over, but I looked, he was coming up the aisle. He had one of them heart monitors on. They had it. They was recording what his heart was doing. And he had that heart monitor on. He was coming up the aisle on one leg with that cane in the air. And he was a swinging it. And I'm talking about he was in the glory. And I looked and that heart monitor swinging back and forth, back and forth. And I got so tickled thinking about that. I said, I'd like to have been there when they read that thing. I said, I could imagine that doctor looking at that thing and going, everything's fine, everything's fine. Whoa! What in the world happened to this man at 15 to 12 on a Sunday? I'll tell you what happened. The cloud showed up and he kicked in, hallelujah. Isn't it about time, praise God, we get some saints of God who'll kick in once again and worship him at the house of God, amen. See, we don't have as many shouting churches as we used to because all the shouters have died and gone to heaven. I was in a meeting in Gastonia, North Carolina, probably 17, 18 years ago. Pretty good sized church, about 150, 200 people there that night, and I was preaching along. Everything's going pretty good, getting a few amens in the crowd. And all of a sudden, I heard a fellow go to shouting, and I'm talking about he was in the glory. This man was plugged in. And I was preaching, and I started scanning the crowd to see if I could see where he was sitting. Because I said, wherever that guy's, that's where I'm going to get close to. Because he's in the glory. I couldn't never spot him, so I just kept preaching. After a while, he struck up again and had the awfulest shouting spell you've ever seen in your life. And I just kept preaching, never could spot him. After the service, I was talking to the preacher. I said, preacher, thank you for letting me come. I said, it's been a joy for me to be here. But I said, I got to ask you one question. I said, that man that got so happy and shouted three or four different times while I was preaching tonight, I said, where was he sitting? I couldn't see him in the crowd. The preacher reared back and grinned real big. He said, well, preacher, just to be honest with you, he wasn't here. I said, what? I said, say what? What do you mean he wasn't here? I heard him shout three times. He said, no, preacher. He said, I've got that on tape. And he said, every time you'd say something I really liked, I'd nod my head at the sound man and he'd hit play. I didn't know you could do that either. You say, what'd you say? I said, anyway, I can get a copy of that tape. I said, if we can get that tape, I could sell it to preachers all over this country, rig up a button on the pulpit when we need it the most, amen. I don't know about you. I don't want my shouting to have to be on a CD. I don't want it to have to be on a tape. But I'll tell you, every now and then somebody ought to kick in at the house of God. Somebody ought to praise him, amen. Here and there gathered around and they're dedicating the temple. The Bible said they begin to sing and they begin to praise God. And the next thing you know, God showed up in a great way. Hallelujah to his name. You don't believe it'll happen, you start trying him. There's a conversation. And then there's the last point, what I call the call of the thermostat. Sometimes I'm sitting there in my living room and I start to get a little bit cold. And even though I don't hear the thermostat saying, if you'll come over here and draw near to me, we can fix that, I feel compelled somehow or another to draw near to it. Because I know that if I get close enough to it, then the atmosphere will begin to change. Do you realize there's a lost world out there? They're in a cold, dark world. Have you ever seen a time where the devil is ravaging people's lives like they are in these days? There's a hopelessness and a despair that's settled in on humanity in these last days. And I'm going to tell you what they're going to draw near to is when they see somebody that's got something different about their life. You may think they're not noticing on the job. You may think that they don't recognize who you are and what you believe. But the fact of the matter is, when everything, the bottom falls out of everything in their life, they're not going to be hunting them fellas that's been telling them the off-colored jokes. They're going to hunt that old boy up they work with, that they've seen him out there with his Bible on his lunch break. They're going to be hunting that old boy that they've seen him bow his head at the break table and ask a blessing over his food before. They're going to be hunting him, but they're going to be drawing near to some of those that's got a difference in their life. Amen. And I got news for you. We've got the greatest opportunity that any generation of Christians has ever had to change the atmosphere in the lives of people. Amen. We ought to witness to everybody we see. Everybody we come in contact with, talk to them about. I'm guilty of that. I find myself, praise God, I'll be checking out at the grocery store and somebody will say, have a nice day. I'll say, amen. See, I'm talking heavenly language. I say, praise the Lord. They say, that, you got a good deal on that. Praise the Lord. Amen. They're not used to hearing that. Tell you what we need to do. I hope you're not one of these. You just sit and diagnose it all. But I hope God has challenged your heart tonight in the place where you worship. That you can be one of those. Say, God, if you'll touch the buttons of my heart, you'll put in my heart what you want me to do. God, I want to work to help change the atmosphere. God, I want to help my preacher. I want to encourage my Sunday school teacher. I want to encourage the choir leader. When I get up there to sing, I don't want to just go through the motions, but I want them songs to mean something to me. And I, God, if you'll help me, I want to worship when I sing. Well, I'll tell you, if you'll do that, the cloud will come. Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done for us. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd take this message now. Would you touch the buttons of people's hearts here tonight? Lord, would you help us? Lord, that day as your people did the things that you were pleased with, Father, Solomon had brought to completion the vision that his father had had. Lord, they got holy things back in their rightful place. God, they sacrificed. And Lord, they prepared themselves. And then they began to sing and to praise. And God, you filled the house with your glory. You sent the cloud. Father, would you help these churches represented here tonight? God, that you'd send the cloud in our midst. Help us to desire that we could be that Christian that you can work through to change the atmosphere. Let's stand tonight.